sex matters, period.
What?
Really?
What?
I'm Judy.
I'm Patricia.
And this is the Sex Matters Podcast. Patricia, a sexual authenticity coach and a Jersey girl turned Minnesotan, and I, Judy, a health educator, advocate, and podcaster, a lifelong Minnesota girl, get together and talk about sex.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Just really busy, but always happy to connect for the podcast.
Yes. It's always fun.
Yes.
That's for sure. So we have an interesting topic today.
Yeah.
An interesting question. So do you want to explain the question/story?
Yeah, I'll give it to you because it actually came from a friend of mine from high school, which I was kind of cool to just kind of hear from her out of the blue. And she's like, I've got a question for you. So here's how it went. This was the question as it came up in my Facebook Messenger inbox. I have a question for you. If you wake up from sleeping and your husband is fucking you, is that rape?
That is a very interesting question.
Yeah.
So it's a very interesting situation. So
you and I have talked about this a little bit in planning for the podcast, and we've tossed around a lot of different scenarios, a lot of different thoughts. We've gotten insight from the peanut galleries. You know, I went out to a bar and asked a bunch of people what they thought, and you went to your groups and you asked some people what they thought. And we never really resolved what the answer is, did we?
No. And then I just heard, and I was listening to this, and I don't remember all of the details, but this actually came up. I was listening to a woman talk about her having a very similar situation and wondering what the heck to do about it. Hers ended a little differently.
Did she bite his cock off?
Well, no, she
you think like Lorena Bobbitt.
Right, exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
Some people listening not even know who Lorena Bobbitt is.
But. I haven't heard Lorena Bobbitt in the news for a really long time.
No.
She's probably like, yay, thank you. Either yay, I get my name out there again, or oh my God, no.
Leave me.
So no, the woman, the story that I heard, and I was going to try to retrack it back down so I could re-listen to it. I didn't get a chance to do that. But she basically said she had to literally reach, I don't know if she reached for the phone or actually called the cops to get him off of her.
Wow. So
she basically took it as, from her perspective, that yeah, he was violating her and she was seriously not okay with it. So I don't know if you have any more information about this, but it's a lot of questions came up in my brain and in other people's brains too about sort of the situation. So
let me give you some of the details that I do know. Okay. Some of the details I know. I know that, again, the woman that was asking is my age. We graduated high school together. So she's around 48, 49 years old. She is married to a man who's much older than her. 20 years, I believe, is the number. Maybe it was 17 to 20 years. I'm in a similar situation, married to a man who's 20 years older than me. Mm-hmm. I believe that she said that this was not the first time this has happened in their marriage, that this was like the fourth time that there has been, that she woke up not knowing what was going on and he was in the act. And she was really mad about it. That's really important too. Mm-hmm. You know, her reaction is that she was really, really pissed. Now, this happened several weeks ago, and over time they didn't split up. She didn't call the cops. She didn't file a report, nothing like that. They've had the conversation, but he doesn't think it's a big deal because they're married and because they go to bed together. And as her husband, that he has a right to have sex with her. And they didn't have an argument or a fight the night before, making it clear that it was hands off. You know, he felt as though, you know, if he started playing with her that perhaps she would come around and engage. Otherwise, he'd just get his rocks off and be done. Mm-hmm. That there really wasn't a consequence in that. So
it's interesting. First of all, it's like hard for me to comprehend waking up in that situation, that I wouldn't wake up while things were happening, but you never know.
I take sleep meds sometimes.
Right. Exactly.
And so, I think a lot of people take sleep meds, even if they're not prescribed. People might take Tylenol PM or Excedrin PM, Aleve PM, something like that to take the edge off so they can sleep. Mm-hmm. Or they have a cocktail or two before they go to bed, which renders them in a place where they are perhaps not fully coherent. Mm-hmm. So part of me is, I'm really on the fence about this because of me wanting to encourage people to be connecting and intimate in their relationships and having positive experiences around sex and encouraging the man to initiate, because we've made men so afraid to initiate that when you're in a marriage and you're in your marital bed and he's a little randy and he, you know, if you were able to wake up enough and say, honey, not now, I'm too tired, and go back to sleep, that would obviously be breaking consent. Mm-hmm. But the fact that he was just kind of playing around with her body and, you know, How does she know that she wasn't moaning or opening her legs or shifting in a way that it seemed like it was a positive, mm-hmm, accepted thing? Who knows? You know, in the marital bed, what can happen?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that doesn't make it right. I understand.
Right.
And I know that in some states, there's only like 5 of them out of 50 that say that rape can happen in a marital situation. Only 5 out of 50
that is
states.
It both blows my mind and it doesn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's because, again, yeah, if she was sleeping and out, and if he knew she was out, and the fact that it's happened like the other times, like, I'd love to know, you know, what happened then, or if she just kind of put up with it and then this time was like, okay, no, you know, not cool. Yeah, I'd love to know his perspective a little more. But the thing that sticks on me is the, he doesn't think it's a problem. Like, that she has said, I'm not okay with this. And he's like, but I get access because we're married. And I think
so much of that has to do with the generation. That's how I really kind of, doesn't make it right. Mm-hmm. But I think back to men in the baby boomer generation that were misogynists, and there are a lot of them that are falling like towers in society, you know, in the news and in the media, whatever, you know, all different politicians, everything, they're crumbling because this misogyny stuff doesn't work anymore. Mm-hmm. But it's a really hard thing to change when it's what you were raised with, how you were raised to think of women, how you were raised. I haven't met him personally, but I know that he brings her tremendous joy and happiness, and they have a great marriage, mm-hmm, and they really enjoy each other, and the sex is great and all that kind of stuff. I know those things about the relationship. Mm-hmm. So,
right. Yeah. Well, and it's kind of that question of what is she willing to put up with? And, you know, I mean, and I can understand that some people would just say, you know, it would be curious to know, was she doing anything or was she just laying there? And not that that can't be somebody totally awake and appreciating what's going on, but it is that question, especially. So this is what came up in some of the discussions that I had. Was, for the most part, people totally agreed that if she said no, especially, and he said, I'm going to continue doing this, that could totally be considered rape, you know, mm-hmm, that it was non-consensual, and that she specifically has said, I'm not okay with this. I'm mad about this. Right. And some comments came back of just the whole, well, it's no fun having sex with a corpse kind of thing, even though she's alive in a warm body.
Yeah. Right.
You know, so was she not giving anything back? And again, if the mindset really is, if you want to participate, great. But if you want to just lay there, I'll just take care of myself. And if you're somebody that's okay with that, maybe that's okay.
Yeah.
you know, that's fine if that's okay with you. But I can certainly understand how that could shake a person up. And yeah, I didn't have, none of the people that I asked, there was nobody that said it was okay. They all thought absolutely not okay. One person said, okay, but when the other person says not okay and gives you any indication it's not okay, then it becomes not okay. So I thought that was interesting. And I think you're right. I mean, I think you're right. There is an, there can be a generational mindset, right, about how that all works and how we think about people and, in a sense, property. And I think there is a certain amount of, I've heard a great term for it and I don't remember what it is, but where the kind of, you know, when you are married or you're in a relationship with somebody, there is a certain amount of automatic consent that you kind of get when you're touching, you know, you don't have to ask all that, right? That, like, that's,
well, it's kind of like, you know, so when I told my husband what she had said, because I asked him, I'm like, I'd really like your opinion. And I kind of knew what he'd say because he's in the same generation as her husband. Mm-hmm. And boy, he got mad. He's like, men can't get a break these days. I mean, don't you consent to being a husband and wife every night when you go to bed in the same bed together? Isn't there a consent of some kind that you guys are intimately involved and that you're supposed to be there for each other through thick and thin, horny and not, you know, rich and poor? Like, does that need to be added to the vows? Like, you know, on your period or not, like that kind of stuff, you know? And he was really mad, but to me, I just kind of made a joke out of it. You know, I'm like, well, you know, I understand where you're coming from. I get what you're saying. But in today's world, women just want to be respected. They want to be acknowledged and validated and know that what they think, feel, and express is heard.
Right. And that they have a choice.
Right. So this kind of brought back the questions, because when she asked me that question, immediately I started going into coaching, like, well, how do you feel about it? You know, what is your immediate response and why do you feel that way? And can you tell me a little bit about the backstory, like you were asking me? Can you tell me about, has this happened before and how did that work out? And what we came down to was that there needed to be clear communication of boundaries. Mm-hmm. And boundaries are so, so very important, even in a marriage. Mm-hmm. Negotiation and boundaries around sex need to be talked about, and it needs to be talked about regularly. You can't talk about it while you're in the honeymoon phase or the newlywed phase, and then 15 years later expect it to be something totally different without having talked about it. Mm-hmm. Or you can expect it, but then something like this happens, you know?
Right. I mean, boundaries, discussion about those boundaries, discussion of what's okay. I mean, we're not okay. I'm trying to come up with like an analog experience of out in the world where, you know, not in the bedroom, where something mm-hmm. happens where we as a partner say, yeah, that's not okay. And we get to say that because it's just, it's not okay.
It's just like around sex that this kind of stuff comes up. It's really, it's funny how it, in other parts of our lives, we know what the social boundaries are. We know how we should or shouldn't act. And yet at home, oftentimes we, once the door is closed, we act a certain way because we're comfortable. Mm-hmm. The expectations have laxed. Or the expectations are so tight wired that we don't know what we can and can't do. And that keeps us from being intimate. That keeps us from expressing. This is the fine line. There's just this fine line between expectation and communication, right?
Right.
So many people have such high expectations, yet don't communicate well.
Right. Right. Yeah.
that there becomes a huge disconnect.
Yeah. It feels like it could be a potentially slippery slope. But I'm not saying that it has to be, you know, and mm-hmm. I'm thinking of, of in the bedroom where it's like somebody is, you're my, in a sense, property. And how many times, especially when I think, and I know this isn't true for everybody, but I've certainly heard discussions of women talking about that, yeah, they didn't get a say in sex. They had their whole life without an orgasm, or mm-hmm. because somebody else, they felt like somebody's property, that they felt like they had to do what they had to do, or just lay there and take it. Mm. You know, that those stories are there too. And we're trying to move beyond that. Yeah. So that we all have a say and can get to have have enjoyment. And to me, it seems like if I had a person sitting here who said, hey, I'm planning on having sex with my wife / girlfriend or whatever. And I think of this as an opposite sex situation mostly.
Yeah, because it's difficult to jump on top of a man who has a flaccid cock while he's sleeping and not wake him up.
Exactly. Right. So, yeah. So, you know, if they were saying that, I would say, dude, not a good idea. Like, no. My advice would just be no. Mm-hmm. If something happened, you know, if that happened to somebody, it would cause me to question. One of the questions that came about when I was talking about this to somebody else was, well, I would be concerned about how he's treating her in other parts of the marriage. Like, is he a good husband? You know, like you said it sounds like he is and it is good. And so mm-hmm. maybe it is that thing that she can say, I can give on this.
Yeah.
Because it's not hurting. Because that would be my other concern is it physically hurting her? Like, of her not being ready to have sex, that could be really physically painful. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like a lot of other things that are in order. And so maybe this is something she can give on. I can understand. I would totally understand if she said, no, that's not okay with me. You need some indication from me. We need to communicate. You need some indication from me that I am okay with this.
So here's what, you know, the breakdown of it was mm-hmm. that I suggested if she didn't feel safe going to sleep in the same bed with him until the situation was resolved and there was some sort of acceptance of responsibility on his part and some firm communication around what was okay and wasn't okay, mm-hmm. that perhaps she needed to sleep in another room or have him sleep in another room or on the couch or whatever mm-hmm. until that could be addressed and there could be some sort of, again, resolution. Now, a couple days later, there was a picture on Facebook of him bringing her flowers and everything else. And so I have a feeling everything is okay. I think mm-hmm. it was perhaps just a really bad day, maybe really crappy timing, and dude just picked the wrong night to take mm-hmm. advantage of his wife. You know, if he had done it before, and he's done it before, and it irritated her, and she wasn't clear about it then she's setting up a precedent. And social justice warriors can jump all over my shit and say no, no is no. But if she wasn't clear in communicating it, mm-hmm. have you ever had sleepy time sex? Have you ever been woken up from your partner with some wandering hands? It is some pretty intense, awesome fucking sex.
Yeah, no, it can be a wonderful, wonderful time.
Yeah, you're kind of out of your mind, not thinking about all the things in the day. Your body is relaxed. You just kind of go and
you know
no
the other person is totally into it because they started it.
Right. So, you know, there again, it's really a balance. It's about choosing your battles, you know, sometimes. And really just having that ability to trust your partner, the trust in, okay, so maybe they needed, if they don't want to talk about it all the time, like, okay, tonight if I'm sleeping, you can have sex with me. Or tonight if I'm sleeping and you're Randy, find a fleshlight or go mm-hmm. whack off somewhere. You know, if they don't want to have to talk about it every night before they go to bed, maybe, you know, they have a sock on the door or maybe she wears lingerie on a night that she's feeling like if something happened, it would be okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, there has to be some sort of communication, and there can be ways to talk about it without talking about it.
Right. Yeah. If she is in some way saying, okay, this is okay, mm-hmm. you know, but wants to create a boundary, or yeah, or if
yeah,
she
like
has...
if I'm taking a sleeping pill and I feel awkward about being fucked while under sedation,
right,
I may say to my husband, hey honey, I'm taking a sleeping pill tonight, just letting you know.
Right.
And then making it clear in another conversation that when I'm under the influence of a drug, that I would appreciate the respect of leaving me alone because I'm needing sleep for some reason.
Yeah, I'd be so curious of the other times. You know, when did she wake up? How did she feel? What was going on there? And and then again, as we do oftentimes in our lives, not a great practice, but a human one of the whole, you let things go until you get pissed.
Yeah.
And then you deal. And then, of course, it doesn't usually get dealt with as well as it could be. But if she can... You know, in my mind, if she can step back and she feels okay enough about it, and she's like, look, everything else is great, but they are able to communicate. Again, I'd want to have more conversations about the, it's, you're in our bed and it's a marriage bed that I get access. Like, I would want to continue.
Yeah, that sounds very archaic.
It
sounds like Flintstones kind of stuff.
Right. And I think furthering that conversation is so important to get to that, like you said, of the whole, you know, look, as women, this is how this feels to me. And I know mm-hmm. you feel that way and I feel this way. So we have to find a way to meet in the middle. And if she wants to deal with that and find some boundaries around it and he understands that, you know, then rock on. Yeah. I mean, I totally support her saying this is an area I will give if everything else is good and it's not horrible for her. Because I don't want her to be in pain. I don't want it to, you know, and I would hope right. he would not want that either.
Sure. So if nothing else, if our listeners have never had this happen to them, or they're totally appalled by the conversation, or they're really mad about the idea, this is a conversation to have with a partner. This is something that we wouldn't normally talk about that we're introducing here on one of our podcasts that they can take to a partner and just be like, hey, I listened to this podcast today and this is what happened. And I want to hear what you think about it. And then you have a clear way to lay out your expectations and your boundaries through this conversation where there's no question of how you feel about it.
Yep. And there's no emotion or anger coming into it because it didn't happen to you yet.
Right. You know? Which is the much better. So here's the thing is that oftentimes things happen to us that upset us or trigger us or inconvenience us or just annoy us. And then we have to deal with them to be that forward thinker and be like, hey, let's just be unromantic for a while and go through a checklist of things that are okay and not okay. Mm-hmm. You know, let's just put the feels aside for a minute and let's just talk like two adults. And, you know, I talk about relationships as a business arrangement all of the time. This is one of those places where you're sharing information, mm-hmm. where you're setting expectations, where you're developing the job manual. Mm-hmm. What your expectations are, what your mm-hmm. job expectations are, and what your expectations are in the bedroom.
Right.
What's allowed, what's not allowed. Where will you get a demerit? Where will you get kicked the fuck out? where will you get divorce papers? You know, that kind mm-hmm. of a thing. So because there's always the progression of discipline in business. You know, first time is shame on you. Second time, shame on me. And it's usually a process where you talk about things and you try and make changes and you look for patterns. And because sometimes people just don't even realize that what they're doing is wrong. And I really right. feel like that might be the place that this man was coming from.
Mm-hmm. That's the fascinating thing is I'd love to know where the conversation has gone. And I'd love to know like what he thinks, because again, like you say, there is that piece of you just hadn't thought about it that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
he joked with her and said, I have paperwork to prove
uh-huh.
that it's consensual. he's like, I've got paperwork. So he's relying really heavily on that marriage certificate as being his proof that they have this right with each other, you know, and he's not saying that she couldn't do that to him. It's just that it's not as likely that a woman would do that to a man ever. Mm-hmm. I talked about it some, like in my book, Crossing the River Called Suffering, that I was denied sex a lot in my first marriage. And if I wanted to have sex, oftentimes I would have to jump on the morning wood. Otherwise, there was not going to be any because it just wasn't something that was important to him. So was I taking advantage of a situation? Perhaps.
Right. Well, and again, you know, yeah, there is that question of, yeah, how did he feel about it?
Yeah, or, right.
You know, and when you listen to a lot of this,
my ex-husband wasn't into it. He was angry and annoyed and bothered by the fact that I was, you know, that I was horny again or whatever. And, you know, just it made him feel like he wasn't enough because I was having to initiate and I was jumping on top because I wanted some, you know? So, but I didn't really care about how he felt about it because I knew I was being denied it so much. And if I was able to take care of myself, so be it. I was hoping that it would kindle something or, you know, cause some additional positive things to come out of it, which never happened. But, you know, so I guess I'm putting myself in the other person's shoes as a woman, trying to figure out how it might work. It's not quite the same, but I guess, you know, if I really wanted to think about intention, I was being selfish. How many times do we have sex in a relationship where we're selfish? How many times do we have sex with our wives where they're conscious and they don't want to have sex? And they just go along with it.
Right.
Or how many times are you fucking your wife and she's just laying there, not really participating? She's thinking about the kids and the dishes and the sink and this, that, and the other thing. And she's just like, get it done.
Right. And we have kind of, it is funny because we have kind of made that
acceptable.
Yeah. Acceptable and something that just happens because of course women are cold and don't want sex. And when we switch it around, it's funny because it almost sounds funny. Like I know some people will, what you're doing isn't okay. And you can argue that both are not okay. And that's why here's where this whole concept of sexual authenticity, communication, knowing yourself, being able to communicate, all of those things are coming together and saying, here's why, because we don't want people to feel that way. I'll have to go look at the yes no maybes or
yes no maybe list is a big one, but I don't think the yes no maybe list that I have posted in a PDF has can I have sex with my wife whenever I want, yes maybe,
or when she's sleeping
or when she's sleeping
or when they're sleeping. Can I have sex with my partner, are you okay? I mean, that's, I'm just saying everybody should
conscious or unconscious
add this to their list of, am I okay with you having sex with me when I'm sleeping? Am I okay with having sex with you? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, really. Those are fundamental. Like if you can't get through that question, you might not be getting through many questions on the yes and maybe list.
And you know, and maybe your answer is maybe I don't know. So if this happens,
it depends.
We'll talk about it. Or if this happens and I say, ooh, no, this is a no, then hop off or stop whatever you're doing. And then, you know, cause that's what the maybe is for. The maybe
that's
is,
right.
I'm not sure.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. So when I went to a bar after she asked me and I was there with my girlfriend and I walked up to just random men. I do this all the time. It's not uncommon for me to just kind of poll the audience and I'll just walk around and I'll be like, I got a question for you. And I ask them just from a place of curiosity, because you can ask anything in curiosity, anything. And I asked them the question and most of them reacted with a look of shock and awe, almost like, not if I wanted to keep my hands, not if I wanted to ever have, any kind of sex with her ever again. There is no way in hell. And these were mostly young men, mm-hmm. I'd say probably in the ages of mid-20s to perhaps 50.
Okay.
You know, not quite baby boomer. Mm-hmm. So, and I didn't have anybody say that it was okay, just like you said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, except my husband.
It's so interesting.
The other baby boomer.
You're right.
Yeah. The one other baby boomer.
I
need to ask some more baby boomers.
I was just thinking that. I'm like, who else can I ask? Because I'm kind of curious. I have a friend who I was just talking to this weekend who's 71, and I think he would probably be in the camp of, no, that's not okay.
And I can think of several women that are baby boomers who would probably be like, well, yeah, that's what we do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As women, that's the way it's always been. You know, when they want it, they get it.
Right.
So, yeah, it really is a generational shift, like so much sexually. Right. There are huge societal, cultural, and developmental shifts that happen through generations that were taught just as norms.
Mm-hmm.
And then as we grow and expand our minds and plug into our relationship with other people, we choose to make those changes, mm-hmm. or we choose to stay in the rut of what we were taught. Mm-hmm. So there's the emotional intelligence is missing.
Yeah.
Most of us nowadays, we're taught emotional intelligence. Kids are taught emotional intelligence in school. Mm-hmm. But the baby boomer generation was not taught emotional intelligence.
And it's hard sometimes to hear responses from folks and just not understand how they can't come around to somebody else's perspective. Like, not even that they always have to agree and say, well, of course, yes, that makes perfect sense. But sometimes it's that not even hearing the other perspective or understanding how there can be another perspective. And
yeah, like saying, maybe I could see where she was upset, like not even being able to have the empathy to put themselves in somebody else's shoes.
So it's, I don't know, but you're right. It is interesting how things are changing. And yeah, and most of the guys that I talked to were probably similar age group to who you talk to too. So
like I said, I'm happy to say that they're still together. Yeah. There were flowers involved. They're back in their marital bed. I don't know if it will ever happen again. I'm sure she'll tell me if it does because she might show up at my house wanting to sleep in my spare bedroom. I don't really know. But I believe through our coaching and the conversations that I had with her afterwards, she stepped into her power and made sure to clearly communicate that this was not something he was to do to her ever again. And right. And she might look into moving to another state that allows it to be considered rape. I don't know
where she lives right now. So she can then have the paper to say, here you go. Here's my paperwork.
Yep.
Right.
That's right. So, yeah. But for right now, she's not in one of those states. Because I asked her, I'm like, so what are you going to do? Are you going to go to the police department, file a report? What are you going to say? What's that going to look like? Right. And what's that going to do to your marriage?
Well, that's the thing. It would be, it would be sad if it came to that. Now, if she woke up, three nights in a row with him doing this, it would then be like, okay, now this is a power play. You know, if he was a jerk and really asserting his power, then it would just like, okay, well, dude, you've asked for it. You know, you're just now pushing just to see how far you can go.
Yeah.
And at that point, whatever she decides, she decides. But I could certainly understand her saying, one more time and you're done, bud.
Yep.
It's cool that they were able to work it out. It's cool that she reached out and talked to you because it's these kinds of things that sometimes you need somebody else to just walk you through your own brain to go, how do I feel about this? Because we can go with norms, but sometimes having a little help and going, this doesn't feel right for me, and what do we do with that, is really great.
Yeah. And just kind of think about it too, that, you know, she reached out to me because I'm a professional because she knew she was going to get balanced, balanced questions. I was going to ask her things to make her think about her choice, what she was going to do with her, you know, her feelings and her thoughts. And she didn't, perhaps she may have talked to like her girlfriends about it or whatever else. But when you do that, when you have a situation with your spouse or whatever, and you go and you just go rat to your girlfriends, you expect your girlfriends to rally around you and be on your side and fuel the fire of anger, the fire of, you know, just being pissed off. Oh, you should leave them. You should do this. You should do that. They are not in your shoes. They don't really have the right to say those things. And we often entertain those ideas and let them rumble around in our head, keeping us in a low level of energy without the ability to shift out of it into a place of solution. Mm-hmm. That makes it very difficult to have a constructive conversation around boundaries, around expectations, when you have this low level energy that's fueled by negativity and fueled by what everybody else tells you you should do. This is part of the problem of where we are today sexually, is because we've been told what we should, could, must, have to do to make other people happy. So is your girlfriend going to make you happy if you leave your husband? Is your girlfriend going to cuddle with you at night and be there in the good times and the bad times? Maybe, maybe not. You know, it's a lot of it is about choice and about really kind of weighing things out and figuring out, is this the battle that's worth just destroying everything?
Like you say, that is a great thing about reaching out to a coach or somebody else who can help you think through it. And, you know, I think, like you say, you know, you, it's something, it's good to be choosy to who you talk to about things with your friends for that.
That's exactly right.
You know, there are those discussions that I need somebody to just hear me right now, and it doesn't matter so much maybe, but there are the times when you want to talk to somebody who really is, it may be in your corner, but they're also able to, like you say, to coach and pull things out and ask better questions that allow you to think about it rather than just be angry.
Reframing is an amazing tool that coaches use, where we just kind of get you out of the way you're thinking and looking at it from a different perspective.
Right.
And then allowing you to kind of cool down, process your information, your feelings, your thoughts, and then siphon them through a filter that makes it a little less volatile, a little less emotional, and more and of an energetic place in alignment with your, you know, your purpose, your soul, who you are as a person.
Right.
So, it was a great question. Like I said, I'm very happy they're on the other side of it. And I love when listeners send in situations or questions. So we always want to encourage that, for sure.
Yes, it is. It's nice to have real world problems. It's fascinating to hear her situation and then think through, my gosh, how do we think about this? You know, and that's where we learn stuff. And you can kind of that little practice of, well, what do I do in this situation before it comes up in my life?
Yeah, no kidding. Because I don't even think a safe word would have worked in that place, because, you know, the act was already happening. And then when you wake up and you're in the middle of the act, and you don't really know what the heck's going on, you don't even, the first thing that comes to your mind isn't going to be Snickle Fritz or pineapple. You know, it's... But stop should work, you know, like, or not now, or what are you doing? You know,
right.
That kind of a thing.
Although I certainly think if you've got a safe word and it's the thing that pops up and you're not okay, it is a perfect time to use it.
Sure, of course. I don't know that the subconscious would work like that.
Right,
but it might.
Depends on how well attached you are to your safe word.
Right. Or what you were dreaming about, one of the two.
Oh gosh. Yeah, exactly. So speaking of safe words, this is just kind of fun story. So Stormy Daniels, I saw Stormy Daniels and she was talking about her safe word. And I can't remember what she said her safe word is now. But she says, I learned that waffle is not a good safe word. Because she says, when you have a gag in your mouth, it doesn't come out well.
Oh my gosh.
I can't remember what her new safe word is. Like, waffle, not a good safe word. So just as a, you know, another thing, and a little, another little takeaway.
There you go.
Don't use waffle as your safe word.
No. And don't eat waffles in the middle of the night when you're medicated either.
Right. Yeah. That's another good plan.
Oh boy.
Awesome. Well,
that was a good one.
Like you say, keep the questions coming, people.
Yeah.
This is fun.
Well, a little bit of research tells me that I have apparently been living under a rock. I didn't realize when Patricia mentioned Lorena Bobbitt that this is the 25th anniversary of it happening, and there are all sorts of shows and interviews and documentaries. So I included just a couple links. There's much broader and greater links to be found and recent specials that you can check out if you are interested. So for those of you who this name is not familiar, 25 years ago, Lorena Bobbitt was in a relationship that she said was abusive and that he raped her and she tried to stop it. She had gone to the cops, asked for help, which I think they were in the process of potentially giving her. And one night he came home drunk and she said that he raped her. And basically she went out to the kitchen, got a knife, came back to bed and cut off his penis, took the knife and left. Basically in hopes to have this stop happening to her. So in a little clip that I read, she talked about how it had been made light of and a tabloid topic that everyone joked about, which is pretty true. I think it was a complicated space of laughing and making light and not knowing what to do with this domestic violence issue that, of course, it's his word against hers kind of thing. You can read about it and see what you think. But it is a very interesting story. That all being said, check out sexmatterspodcast.com where you can ask a question just like the listener did today. Actually, the listener didn't do that. The listener sent a note on Facebook Messenger, which also does work, by the way, as you can see. You can get on the email list and get your PDF of daily positive sex affirmations from Patricia. If you like the work we're doing, please, please, please consider supporting us on our Patreon page that you can get from the podcast website. It's very easy to sign up. You can sign up as little as $2 a month. If you want to find out about talking to Patricia and working with her one-on-one, finding out about the classes that she's teaching, you can find her at thepowerexchange.co. You can also connect with her on Facebook as well. Her book is called Crossing the River Called Suffering. She mentioned that today in our podcast episode. And you can click right through the website to her book and purchase it that way. And we would greatly appreciate that as we get the ever so tiny little kickback that supports the podcast. You can connect with me, Judy, with my weekly health and wellness podcast, wellnessrenpodcast.com. You can also find it on iTunes and various other places where podcasts are found. Just to give you a little idea and maybe wet your whistle and have you come over and visit me on the Wellness Renaissance podcast, just to give you an idea of some of the episodes we have going on there. Episode 105, the most recent one, is a conversation with a comedian that furthers the cultural conversation about being transgender. Very smart and fun comedy. Episode 94 is Emily Nagoski. And if you're familiar with her work and her book, Come As You Are, she is amazing. In episode 96, I hang out with Carrie Beckin. We talk about her journey going from faith-based to queer secular humanist. I would definitely be remiss if I didn't mention Patricia's episode, which is episode 68. You can get to learn more about what she does and some of the inspiration for this podcast. You'll have an opportunity to learn about various modalities and ideas, things like restorative justice and self-love and so much else. So I definitely invite you to stop over and check it out. You can find that at wellnessrenpodcast.com. That's it for this week. Thank you so much. And definitely, if a sex or relationship question pops up, don't hesitate to hop on the website, sexmatterspodcast.com, and enter it into a question. You can totally remain anonymous, just to make that really clear. All right. Thank you. Have a great week.